Think I'm playing? I'm not playing. We're going to do this before we dismiss our children to Sunday school. We want to do our mortgage burning. And the first part of the ceremony, if you want to call it that, I want to do is I want to ask my father to come up here. He has no idea I'm doing this. I didn't tell him ahead of time or he wouldn't have done it. So, so come on up here, Dad. I'm not going to make you talk or anything. I just want you up here. Come on stage, we can see you good. We got a certificate from my father. In case you don't know, this is the church treasure. And it's a certificate of appreciation. We're going to present him. And it says that this certificate is to honor David Lewis, church treasure, for his consistent integrity in the paying off of our church mortgage. David exercised good judgment and wise oversight during this process. Thank you for dedication and love for LWM, as well as your good stewardship unto the Lord. So I just want to give that to you. Thank you very much. Turn around and see, show the plaque. Has anybody got a camera? Randy, is Randy in here? You don't have it with you? You got one? Can you take a shot of this? Anything you want to say while you're up here? It's your opportunity. Sometimes after everybody leaves, he gets brave. He'll walk up here. This is what it feels like, huh? It's empty, though. You got anything you want to say? I can't get no closer. Thank you. Give my dad a hand, will y'all? Thank you, Dad. I appreciate it. All right, Mel, I'm going to need your assistance, I guess, up here. All right, what I want to do, let's open the, this is not a pot roast, so don't get excited. But this is our little procedure for burning the note. We're going to toss in a pan, put the lid on it. But, okay, shh. Hey, Rocky, let's pull a rabbit out of my hat. I'm sorry. This, we have the original. Nobody panic. This is copies. So we're not burning the original. That's filed away. But this is just a kind of a packet of all the deeds and all this stuff. Everything signed. Everything paid for. So we're very excited about that. Yes, thank you. Also, let you know as well, when we first got the loan, the banker requires some co-signers. And so me and Melanie, my mom and my dad, Rodney and Tammy, and Ray and Charlotte signed the note to secure that if we couldn't make payments, they'd come after us. So they took a great step of faith in helping us do that, and I appreciate that very much. Their name was on the note for about 4 years, and I got them removed. I kept me on there. I said, can you take everybody off but me and Melanie? Finally, ours is off, yes. But I appreciate y'all's stepping up, and where's Rodney and Tammy at? Oh, okay. Thank y'all for stepping up and doing that. And yeah, Rodney, Tammy, stand up. Mom, Dad, stand up. They were co-signers of our loan, and we want to thank them for that. And understand, Tammy and Rodney, four kids. Oh, what'd he say? Oh, thank you. Try and get rid of mine, you crazy. but yeah, he had three kids, I guess, at the time. Maybe three. But anyway, he had a bunch of kids. Tammy wasn't working. So that was a big step of faith. So I appreciate y'all doing that. And mom and dad, too. I mean, they, you know, different scenario. They're the empty nest, trying to make it through, you know, living on the retirement life. And they're a different season of their life. So I appreciate that very much. But I want to make a declaration here. If Melly's not moved it, here it is. So I want to decree this before we burn the note. Heavenly Father, we hereby do decree this mortgage of Living Word Ministries paid in full. It is by your hand and your hand alone that this is accomplished. We give you all thanks and praise for what you have done. To you, Lord, we give all glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. We hereby now do burn this note as a symbol of God's blessing and favor. Go, you light it.
Blessed be your name in the land that is.
Y'all stand to your feet. Let's give God praise and honor for this moment in time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Y'all can yell out if you want to. Glory to God. That note's going to burn. Y'all sing a song along with it. Name of the Lord. Stay here with me. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when sun's shining down on me. When the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, to the heat in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. This is a blessing today, church. News is in, Lord, still I'll say. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You give and take away.
You give and take away. My heart will choose to say. At a time. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I'm gonna say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen. Glory to God. He gave us a church and took away the mortgage. Hallelujah. That's what I was thinking of. He gave us a church and took away the mortgage. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, please, Rodney. Y'all can be seated. And I appreciate that. It has been a sacrifice, but I see all the benefits and all the lives, and it's been worth it. It truly has, to see lives that have been touched and changed. So much more to come. As Paul Harvey said, hang around for the rest of the story. Y'all can be seated. Thank you very much for those words, Rodney.
I want to say something on behalf of David, my father-in-law. Y'all don't know what a frugal man this man is. We do.
But he was extreme couponing before it was popular.
But, you know, with James being the only child, our inheritance is awesome. Awesome. Let's just say. But anyway. But David made double and triple payments. It's him that was so diligent on, I mean, he would say, James, we're not spending on this because we're paying this mortgage off. So it's more than just him sending the payments. It was him. His drive, he was so driven. We could not honestly have a better treasurer because he is extremely frugal. So we want to thank you for that, because it's you being so driven instead of, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but we're kind of young. And we may
we
be,
are?
We might have, I'm kind of young.
Not just till August 8th. Then it's over.
Whatever. 40's good. 40 is good. Thank you, ladies. But you know, we might be more thinking about now and what we need now instead of focusing on what we might need in the future. And Pops knew that, so he got us there. And thank you so much for that.
It's a wonderful day of celebration. And I just got to say, I noticed that when Rodney was giving me and Melanie the acclamations and all the good praise and stuff, that Tiffany wasn't in here. And she walked in. So I appreciate you showing that. Honor to me. Thank you. Kids, come up. Give your money. The giving well. Be dismissed to Sunday school. We'll get into the scripture this morning. Yes, thank you. Well, for now. Not forever. Oh, yeah. Here, I got somebody coming. Thank you, sir. Chris, you're going to my first scripture, Isaiah. Turn to the book of Isaiah. We're going to talk about it's paid in full. We'll start in Isaiah 53, paid in full. Now, Maverick, don't listen to Grandpa. Give your money to the offering plate. Doc, what are you teaching this kid? He teases it. Isaiah 53. I do want to get through my message. I will be a little over this morning, but it's okay. It's a special ceremony, so just if you got to leave, I understand, but hope you don't. So I want you to hear the word this morning. Talk about being paid in full. How that our debt spiritually is paid in full because of Christ. How important it is to realize that. So many people are still trying to earn their way to heaven through works. They're laboring so hard, hoping to try to make it in, and can never rest in the fact that their debt is paid. They send their payments up through their works, through all the deeds, through their giving, through hiding behind a religion or denomination or a church, and thinking that is securing their salvation when it's not. We need to rest in the fact that our debt is paid, and we no longer send payments up through our works. But Jesus sent the final payment at Calvary. He made the final installment for our salvation at the cross. And when we realize that, we can walk in such freedom and such power, realizing, man, I've been working so hard to try to get there, doing all these things, or the preacher says I have to do this or this or this. And, you know, the preacher has no bearing in your salvation. Christ is the one that bore your salvation. It is in Him alone we are saved and delivered and set free forevermore. That's the love of Christ. And 600 years before He comes, Isaiah prophesies His arrival. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Our iniquities were placed upon Jesus Christ. Doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem right. It seems too easy. But that's the plan of salvation. And man has tried to complicate it by keeping people bound to a system or a doctrine or a teaching whenever Jesus set us free. Paul said in Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set you free, and be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. What was Paul talking about? The law, religiosity, doctrine of man. Don't be entangled with that junk. Man, I've set you free. He has set us free. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our peace, the peace we didn't have, was placed upon him that we could have peace. He bore everything within himself for us. He took the full blow that we could be free. He was the greatest soldier of all time, was Jesus, marching, carrying out his orders that he was sentenced to do. Didn't have to, but he did. And he went in that Garden of Gethsemane just right before his appointment with death. And the man part of Christ, of course, worried. The man part of Christ had apprehensions. But he followed the plan to a T. And he turned himself in, riding on that donkey in Jerusalem. People celebrating the king. He's saying, I'm coming in peace. I'm coming to bring peace. I'm coming to bring redemption. I'm coming to bring healing. I'm coming to bring what you could never bring yourself. What people have to understand is, a lot of people don't ever get this, because we don't like to admit it. I don't know. It's our rebellious nature. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how sweet somebody is. All of us have a rebellious nature. There's a little piece in all of us, even after we're saved, that has a rebellious nature that'll rise up. Just say the right thing and see what happens. Say something ugly to your wife or husband, see how rebellious they become. Or yell and scream at your children like we do, and you'll find out how rebellious they become. We have a rebellious nature, and most people don't want to admit that they're born with sin. I'm born into sin. You mean little precious Abby's born into sin? But no, Pastor, I don't like that. Well, that's the gospel. That's the truth. Little Abby's born with a sin nature. And the only remedy to remove that sin nature is what Christ has already did at Calvary. And as Abby gives her heart to Jesus and says, Lord, I believe what you did for me, then the sin nature is removed and his nature is replaced. And she's transferred from death into life. We must first come to terms with we were born into sin. All of us were. I don't care how good we think we are. I don't care. You know, a lot of people, a lot of different doctrines and denominations baptize children. They baptize them unto kind of salvation. They do a baptism. You know, we don't do that here. We dedicate our children to God. But baptism is reserved for those who have made a confession in Jesus Christ, who have placed their faith in him and know willingly what they're doing. And then when they place their faith in the Lord, they go in that water as an open public symbol of identifying themselves with Christ. I'm identifying myself with Jesus, not ashamed of it. We were born into sin, and Jesus has prophesied 600 years before he came. Isaiah says, there's going to be a man that comes that's going to be bruised for you. He's going to be stricken for you. All of your junk is going to be placed upon this one lamb, because he was the perfect Lamb of God. All of our stuff was placed on him. He absorbed all the wrath that we should be encountering now. But we won't, because we have escaped from that death. We have no place in hell. We passed the appointment that once kept us. We were all born with an appointment to die. But after Jesus, we now all have an appointment to live. Isn't that good news? We have an appointment of life forevermore because of what Jesus did. So understand, it's Jesus that set you free. Verse 6, all we like sheep, here it is, all of us, have gone astray. We have turned every one into his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our iniquities was laid upon this one lamb. It was transferred in to this one lamb. Just like symbolic of the old covenant, when the person would bring their lamb before the altar, and the person would lay their hands on the head of the goat or the lamb or whatever they had, and they would lay their hands and pray, and what they were doing was transferring all of their sins into that lamb. And then that lamb would be slaughtered and they'd be forgiven. Well, all the sin was placed upon Jesus, upon that cross. Everything was imputed unto him. All our wrath, everything was poured upon this one lamb. forevermore. And it was the only and last sacrifice needed unto salvation. Nothing else is needed. The greatest revelation in the world. A lot of good preachers, a lot of good teachers, a lot of good teaching, a lot of deep doctrine. But there is no greater, deeper revelation. Nothing greater has been revealed than this. That we were born into sin and we're born again to righteousness. No greater revelation than that. Righteousness means right standing with God. It's not about our works. It's about His work at Calvary. That's what accomplished our righteousness. And man, that sets you free when you realize that. Because you begin to walk in such I'm telling you, there were times, you know, I was so burdened down. And I know you're that way. Some of you still face this. And I want to try to help you. You got to get this out of your head about it's something you got to do. Because I'm going to tell you, we all fall short. We'll read that in a minute. We all have fallen short. And we cannot work and do anything on our own to be right standing in front of God. None of us are holy by our nature enough to ever do that. Ever. Jesus did it for us. And if we can rest that I'm saved, I'm born again, I have everlasting life, I am secure in Him forevermore. My appointment, the Bible says in Peter, that we have an inheritance that is undefiled, unfadable, reserved for us in heaven. In other words, our appointment with our kingdom is already booked. It's already been paid for through the blood of Christ. The down payment was Jesus on the cross. And my date's already been selected. I don't know when, but He does. But that date's reserved. Until that time, He calls me into the kingdom. And when He says, "Son, arise from your ashes and walk into your light," that will be a day that I will walk into all God has, but it's already waiting on me. It's not something I got to earn, or I'm not going to lose it. It's not going to be canceled or changed around. There's no blackout date. Glory to God. Y'all hear me? There are no blackout dates. It's reserved. When I came to Calvary, said, "Jesus, I need you. I need a Savior." He showed up and changed me forever. And from that moment on, I became His child, and nothing can pluck me out of His hand. Ever, period. What does pluck us out of His hand, our own thinking, is our own condemnation and our own guilt and our own doubts and religious people. "Now, Brother Gordon, now, if you really God's child, you don't act no such a way." Then you find from five of the people He told the same thing to, and they're coming to you by your office with a coffee cup, walking on by the door. "What? You been talking? Gordon, Gordon, Gordon." All of a sudden, He comes on a high on Monday morning. "I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, I'm going to hell. Please, God, forgive me." It changes that drastic sometimes because of condemnation and guilt. Understand, the sacrifice Jesus made was so permanent, it's unchangeable. Here's a greater revelation. Some of y'all ain't going to like this at all. I better get behind my big podium before I say this, okay? Oh, I lost it. Good. Maybe somebody's going to throw a rock. Okay. There are some of us that still think that our works or what we do changes what Jesus did. And it doesn't. It doesn't, church. I don't care how. We can stay in repentance our whole lives, 24 hours a day. We can be driving to work. "Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me." I mean, we can just eat lunch. "Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus." You know, "Forgive me, Jesus." Melon's at work trying to talk to, you know, doctor about, "Hey, doc, hang on, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Hey, can I forgive me, forgive me, forgive me? Hey, can I forgive?" Because just in case the trumpet sounds. And in between the "forgive me's," God comes. And there's Melon right in the middle of, "Too late. I didn't get it out in time. I'm gone." And that's been a lot of teaching among Christian churches. Instead of the true revelation of the grace of Jesus Christ. Doing something we can never accomplish. People challenge us by saying, "Oh, they're going, look, I'm going to tell you something. You've really been born again with a new nature. You're going to follow that new nature. Not always, but you're going to produce that nature. It's not going to be a thing of, you know, a person." I'm not talking about just, and I'm not talking about just patty cake confession. I've been there too and seen that. I've seen that. I remember in Bible school, I was a young kid. I told the story before. I was a young kid, and the preacher was in vacation Bible school at a church here in town, and I was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, and I'm in Bible school, and the preacher calls, "If you haven't been saved, come, you know, go to this classroom." This little girl punches me beside me. I always had girls around me. This little girl punched me. That's not a lie.
You still regret it, but too late now. So she punched me. And she said, have you been saved? I said, no. Well, go back there. Well, come on. She kept go. You haven't been saved? No. But I said, I wasn't feeling nothing. So I went back there. And, you know, I was doing what I thought to do. And the teacher, no fault there. They were doing exactly what any teacher would do. It's what I do here. I go back to a little classroom. There's several kids around. He leads this salvation prayer. And I remember looking at him. And here's the deal. Here's when you know you hadn't really got it. Let me just give you a clue. You know you've not really been saved when you ask the teacher, so I'm saved? That's what I did. I said, so I'm saved? Yeah, you're saved. Oh, all right. I went home, told Mom. Mom, guess what? I'm saved. Mom, let's talk. Tell me what happened. Because she wanted to make sure. She's fine if it's real, but she wanted to make sure it was real. So she began to explain to me, did you feel anything? Did you feel a drawing? No. Do you feel any different now? Not really. I was going just because the little girl told me to go, but there was no drawing. A person that's truly been born again, you ain't got to tell them they've been saved. Man, they know I've got Jesus, and I'm different. And can't nobody tell me I'm not. Doesn't mean we're not going to fail, make mistakes, but you've got Jesus, and you're in his hands, secure forever. That's good news. Next verse, he was oppressed, he was afflicted. Oh, I don't have that verse, do I? Oh, never mind. Go to the next one. Y'all go love his next verse. John 3:15. We all know this verse. We learned as a child in Sunday school. But I think we need to go back to it and realize the pure truth in these scriptures. John 3:15. This is Jesus speaking. Whosoever believeth. The word believeth here means to entrust one's spiritual well-being. To whoever believeth in him, in Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, Jesus is really clear here. If you believe in him, you go live forever. Some is eternal can't be non-eternal. So if I really believe Jesus secured my salvation, how can I be in a teaching that teaches it comes and goes? I'm saved one day and lost the next. I'm saved one day, lost the next. Saved one day, lost the next. Saved. That's not eternal. Jesus is clear. You believe in me. You trust me. You'll never perish. Perish means decay, die, rot away. We all know what perish means. You don't leave chicken sitting out in the bar. You don't leave milk sitting out in the bar. It goes bad. It goes sour. It perishes. But you leave a can of corn in the cabinet for 5 years. A sealed can longer than that. A sealed can until you pop it. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his own Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Church, we don't serve a wrathful, angry God. Thank you. Even the children understand that. We serve a God of love, a God of grace, and a God of mercy. If we serve a God of wrath and anger, don't you think we've done been destroyed? Look at our nation. Look at the world. Look at the morality. Look at what we're accepting and what we're doing in this nation. Do you really think if God was a God of anger, we would still be here? The Bible says he's long-suffering. He wants all to come to repentance. His desires all see him as who he is, a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of extended grace. Not just one-time grace. Remember what the disciples asked Jesus about forgiveness? How many times was forgive them? 7 times, Lord. I think that's pretty good because I think in Jewish custom, 3 times is kind of like the max. After that, you know, you let them go. So he was doing good saying 7 times. He was more than doubling up. 7 times? Not 7 times. 70 times 7. What does that mean? That means you forgive always. You walk in forgiveness. You stay in forgiveness. There's no one point we don't not forgive. Boy, that's terrible grammar. There's no point that we do not forgive someone. That we don't forgive someone. We just go on and on and on. That's what Jesus did. Aren't you glad there's not something you do where Jesus, I'm done with you. Done.
bye. You've done too much to come home. You've done too much to come back. You've done too much. You're out of the house forever. You're out of my kingdom forever. But we've had a lot of teaching that way to keep people under condemnation because it keeps them needing the preacher. I want you needing Christ. That's the one that died for you. That's the one that can do, that's the only one that can do anything for you is the Lord. He's all powerful in all things. He didn't come to the world but to be judged. He came to save the world. I don't have verse 18 up, I don't think, but I want to read this. He, if you got the Bible, you can follow along. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All of our salvation is attached completely to Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other Lord. There's no other avenue. And there are a lot of people being deceived into thinking because of their denomination or their church, or they were baptized at 1 year old, or they were this, that they're secure. And they're not. Not according to Scripture. All of our salvation is totally on Jesus Christ. Romans tells us, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you shall be saved. And that sounds simple, but you know how many times, how hard for some people to do that? I mean, really think how hard, but even some of you in here, maybe it's really hard for you to really, stand before God and out of your mouth say this, Lord Jesus, you are Lord of all, and by no other name can I be saved. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. That's harder for some people than it sounds. Because admitting that means that you were wrong before. And all your stuff before was wrong. It's through Jesus alone. Not through anything else. We're not going to skate our way into heaven on a different avenue. And there's not many paths to eternal life. There are so many verses. I mean, there are hundreds of verses. Hundreds. That talk about the pure grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. No other way. He didn't come to condemn, he came to save. Next scripture. Look at Romans 3:23. For all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we can't ever meet the standard of God. We never will, we never can. Because our sin nature stands in the way. And even after we're saved, let me tell you this. Aren't you glad that after you saved, God says, okay, I saved you. Now you're on your own. Wouldn't that be scary? I saved you now. I rescued you. So now you know you're saved, but you got to keep it now. You better work to maintain it. That's not Scripture. We don't work to maintain something we didn't do. We are saved by grace. It is a gift from God. Lest any man boast. And don't we see spiritual religious boasting? Such boasting of who we are. Who we are in Christ, who they are. That old church, bless their little hearts, they don't have no understanding. They're just pitiful little Christians. They're not holy and powerful like me. I got people that snub me because I'm not a denomination. They think I'm less than. What church you pastor? Oh. Because I'm not a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Church of God or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian. I get shunned a lot. I get a lesser than. Oh, they don't say it, but I feel it. Oh, okay. You're not a real church. We hide behind those things instead of hiding behind Jesus. Jesus is our salvation, church. In Him alone are we delivered. In Him alone. When I got saved, I was in a tent revival in Wilkes County. And the Lord was sort of, my heart started beating. And I didn't ask mom, dad. Nobody told me nothing. I wasn't getting punched. I'm standing there. And I knew God was speaking to me. And at 9 years old, I walked in that tent up to the front, weeping like a baby, crying, moved by the Spirit of God, knowing something was changing. Oh, it was precious. And that same Holy Spirit that drew me at 9 years old has been the same Holy Spirit that's kept me all the way till now. It's not left me. It remains. I've always been His child. I've not always acted like it. There have been times I'm sure He's like, I don't know who that is. No, Peter, that ain't my boy.
done a lot of things that I've been ashamed of. But the one thing I know is I'm his son. Through bad and through good, I'm his son. And there'll be a day I will be crowned with all glory because I have followed Jesus. There'll be a day I'll lay down all of this on the earth and I will walk into a new place and a new kingdom that's waiting on me, where God will say, "Welcome home, son." He's not going to read all the things I did wrong, church. There's not going to be a list at the gate hoping the good outweigh the bad with two buttons up and down. Thank God I will be so down. I mean, I'll just hit it myself. What's up, Peter? Just save time, man. Get Melly in. Melly get in. She's behind me. She deserves it. I'll just go down. Let her go up. What do you mean, whatever? Oh, I said that. You'd be behind me? Thanks for wanting to push me out first, though. I appreciate that. Thanks. It's not going to be all the stuff read that we've been taught to think that if I do enough, I'll get in. We can never do enough to get in. It's faith alone and complete trust. And we have so much condemnation toward, you know, especially our young people and your teenagers, and they're hearing so many do's and don'ts of just the gospel of Jesus, just the grace. If I could just understand, they're not going to be perfect. They're going to make a lot of mistakes because we did. We tell our kids not to repeat our mistakes, but they do. Why? Because they have the same brain we had at 16 and 17 and 18. And they will make the same mistakes. But if they know that their mistakes don't necessarily send them to hell, they can have a lot of encouragement through those mistakes. Realizing, yeah, I made a mistake, but thank you, Jesus, you're still there. You know what that does? It brings such a new attitude of reverence to who God is. When you know truly what he has done for you. Remember the Andy Griffith where Andy saved Gomer Pyle's life? He pulled him out of the gas station. The fire was in the station. And he pulled him out. And Gomer, "Golly, Andy, you know what you just done? You saved my life. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do everything. I won't leave your side." So what's happening? He's back in his house at 2 in the morning. He's cooking a breakfast, you know. Everywhere Andy goes, there's Gomer. Everywhere, there he is. I mean, everywhere. "I'm not leaving your side." So Andy's got, "I got to fix this." So, of course, he goes, you know, turns on the furnace of the jail room, hopes to save him. Of course, Gomer passes out. So he has to, you know, fix all that and redo it. But that's how Jesus is. "I ain't leaving your side. Yeah, Doc, you act a fool in Florida, but you know what? You're still mine. I saw you on the beach when Debbie wasn't with you. I know what you were doing. Sure, she couldn't reach that spot where her son's hand lotion. Yeah, that's okay. I love you anyway." I surely hope that wasn't prophetic. But that's God sees us, and he still loves us. And if people could ever get that message that God is love, the Bible doesn't say God's wrath, God is anger, God is evil, God is bad. God wants to punish you. God's got something against you. Man, God took everything away. He paid the debt in full. We owed something we could never pay. And Jesus came down and took the cross and says, "I got this. I'll pay it with my own blood." And he paid it forever, and we're debt free. That's the power of grace and favor of God. There's some folks who won't think you're saved unless you're doing everything exactly right. And they'll think you backslid if you do one thing. Your backslider better make it right. And they're just backslidden too. They're telling everybody what you did wrong. We fail to forget that. I've said many times, we categorize Christians as big sins, right? Sexual sins are big. Adultery, fornication, you know, all that's big. You know, drunkenness, swearing and cheating and lying. You know, all that's the big sins, you know. Drugs or whatever, that's all the big sins. But what about the ones, Gary, what's going on with Joe Brown, man? I heard him and Sharon, really? Wow. Hey, Chris, you know what? And Chris, hey, Don, man, did you hear about Joe Brown? Then Don, hey, Key, did you hear about,
Poor Joe walks in and church gets quiet. What? Is that not a sin as well? Of course it is. The difference is, you know what sin you're in? Self-righteousness. Boy, we don't like that word. Self-righteousness. We think we're righteous within ourselves and righteous within what we have done. And can't look at other people with love and mercy and grace, understanding they're just broken. They need healing. They've fallen down. They need to be picked up. They have, in a dark place, I need to shine the light. The old saying, don't kick them when they're down. How many of us do that? We kick them when they're down. Instead of picking them up and reminding them who they are and dusting them off. You cannot outrun love. There is one thing I think I can honestly say, I really do, and this is not self-righteous, this is self-observation. There's a difference. There's a lot of things that can be said about me through the 10 years of this ministry. A lot of people, feelings I've hurt, things I said, whatever. That's going to happen. But nothing that anybody can truly say against me, I don't think, and be honest with it, I mean really be honest, is that pastor didn't love me. Sometimes love may have ran him out of the church, but I loved him. And I'm still there for whoever calls. Melanie will tell you that. She will. You better be glad I'm your pastor, not Melanie. I'm just saying. People will call Melanie. Are you kidding me? Really? You going to return that call after what they done to you? Yes, honey, I'm just an humble sheep servant of God. Holy God, Jesus. Melanie said, if I was a pastor, we wouldn't have no church. Melanie's a very sweet woman, but you got to understand her role's different. And when she sees the man she loves more than she ever loved, 21 years of awesome, magnificent marriage, when she sees him being used and abused, she gets mad. Yes, and she stands up for me and fights for me. And so when she rolls her eyes, or you're a kid, that's because she loves me. Not because she hates y'all. She loves me. And she's fighting for me. But that's what God is love. He's never going to stop loving you. Understand, he's never going to stop loving you. And there is no act of sin. And boy, this gets people riled up too. And that's a whole different message I won't preach on this morning. But there is no behavior that we can produce outside that God will not forgive when we come to him. A lot of people teach that. Gone too far, done too much. God won't forgive that. He'll forgive anything we bring before him. His mercy is endless. And it covers, the Bible says, love covers a multitude of sin. When people know you love them, they'll listen to you. They may not agree with you, but they'll listen to you. Because at least they know you care. Jesus cared so much. He gave his life for us. Next verse. Go back one. Being justified freely. Look at this. The word justified means made just. It means we stand right before God. Understand that. We stand right before God freely. No cost for us. By his grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Who God has set forth to be a propitiation, that means a mercy seat, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. We are righteous because he makes us righteous, not because we make us righteous. Next scripture. Think about one more. Of God. Okay, next scripture. Now, why it does that? Colossians 2. I love these next two verses. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your... Boy, that just sounds nasty, don't it? You dead and you uncircumcised in your flesh. Hath he quickened together. That word quicken means to make alive. He has made you alive with him, having forgiven you how many? All trespasses. Everything you could possibly do has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Somebody give him some praise. Everything's been forgiven.
Don't let the devil keep pulling you down. I'm forgiven. When you get condemned, say, I'm forgiven. When he attacks, no, I'm forgiven. When he tries to pull you down, I'm forgiven. All my trespasses, all my iniquities, all my failures, all my shortcomings have been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Next verse. Blotting, I love this. Look, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What's he talking about? The law. He took away the law that stood between us and reconciliation, and he took it away, nailing it to the cross. At Calvary, 2,000 years ago, every sin I would commit was already nailed to the cross, waiting on me just to receive it. Glory to God. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all think I'm married? Let me repeat that. Every sin I would ever commit 2,000 years ago was nailed to his cross. The way for my redemption was made. Everything at that moment, the wall, the veil, the boundary, the border, the separation was all removed. It was all taken away. Forevermore, the way was made accessible for me to once again be one with him. Nothing stood in the way. That's what happened. Jesus paid it all. One more. I got one verse down there, don't I, Christian? Yes. I want to close on this verse, John 8:24. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Why have I got this verse up here? To make it very clear to all who are here that Jesus is the only way. You can't hide behind any denomination. Church, your Southern Baptist card ain't going to work. Your Pentecostal Holiness card ain't going to work. You can shout your way all you want till your wig flies off. It does not save your soul. Jesus saves your soul. And we will die in our sins unless we accept him. Boy, that's pretty fair, I think. I get tired of the people saying, that ain't fair. God's a God. You know, it's not fair. I wasn't Adam. I didn't do nothing wrong. Why am I paying for that? Why am I paying for that? But God made a rescue, church. He made a remedy. He made a way out. Very fair. Very fair to know there's a remedy for our cure. Jesus is the only way. What a sweet sound. And you don't realize this. You may realize this, but this little child is hearing this word of God this morning. By the time a child is 5 years old, psychologists have proven it has formed the majority of its moral behavior by five. So if you've not been a good parent up till five, look out. Don't mean you don't keep trying, but that little girl's hearing the word of God. It's going into her spirit. They are so observant. Little Maverick over here at our fun day yesterday, for our kids' day, and he was carrying around a badminton racket. He was holding it against his little face. You know why he's doing that? Because Melanie was, I don't know why she was doing it, but Melanie was doing it earlier. Oh, okay. So Melanie was doing it, and then what does he do? He gets the racket, and does, he repeats what he saw. He repeats the behavior. So this little girl's seeing and hearing and the behavior going on right now in the sanctuary. You know what? She'll repeat it. She stays in and gets older, she'll repeat it. Jesus is the only way. I want to give you a chance this morning. I've got, I think I got that. Watch the lamb pulled up, no. On other computer, the other one. Make sure that's pulled up, just play it real low. I want to give you a chance this morning before we close the service. You know, we are debt-free, mortgage-free as a church. But are you mortgage-free spiritually? Have you placed everything upon Jesus? Have you trusted him for your whole life? Have you, with your mouth, confess, Jesus, I know you're Lord, and you're the only Lord, and I need a Savior. Actually, Dee, you still in here? Oh, she is? Can you go relieve her, have her come in here? I'll have her sing that song for our altar song. That'll be good. Because the song talks about, I need a Savior. And what I want to ask you this morning, as she sings this song, if you need a Savior, you need a Savior to rescue you where you're at. As she's singing a song, I just want you to come up to the altar and you can stand or kneel.
And I just want you to talk to God yourself. Just talk to him. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I've heard the message. I've heard the word. You paid my debt. I don't understand all things, but God, that sounds awful good. And I need that erased in my life. I need a Savior. I'm tired of being where I'm at. I'm tired of living like I'm living. I'm tired of being empty and void. There's something I need. There's something missing in my life. There's just a little something not quite there. And if that is you, she's singing. Dee, come on up here, darling. I want you to sing that song again for me that you sung this morning. And if she's singing this song, and you need a Savior, just come up and just, as she's singing, just talk to God. I'm not going to pray. If you want prayer, I will. But I want you talking to God and just saying, talking to him, saying, Lord, I need you. I need a Savior. I need to know that you're my Lord from this day forward. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus, church, is Lord, him alone. There's no other way. Understand, even your act of coming to the altar doesn't save you. You can't leave and say, I went to the altar, I'm saved. No. It is your confession and faith you are placing in Christ as being your Savior. And I always say this too. I always give a little footnote here. You must be drawn by the Spirit before anything matters. You can't come up here out of head knowledge or somebody's punching you. Or, well, it's the right thing to do. Or what have I got to lose? I don't believe in that. I believe nothing truly changes till God speaks to your heart. The Bible says that men only come to me unless the Spirit draws them. So as she sings this, the Spirit of God is drawing you to need a Savior in any way. Maybe it's not just for salvation. Maybe you need a Savior for something else in your life. I need a Savior to rescue me from where I'm at right now. Just come, just pray for a few minutes as she sings this. Just talk to God. The altar is open.
How many names can I use to explain the love of my Jesus, the life that he gave? And so many times will I praise you today. Lift up my life, 'cause you're always the same, and my offering to you I bring. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Jesus. How many songs can I sing to proclaim your wondrous love and your beauty so great? Oh, now what would I say if you brought I'd walk through the pain, my heart would say, your name is Jesus, your name is Jesus, you're the wonderful counselor, he's my friend. You're what I hold on to. Know that you brought me through. all the days of loss to the cross he knew that I'd need a Savior. You're what I hold on to. I know that you brought me through all the days of loss to the cross he knew. He knew that I'd need a Savior. I need you, Savior.
We thank you the word has been preached and been taught, and that your presence is here drawing. We know that every heart that's heard has been changed, that there's been a seed planted, a seed of grace, a seed of love, a seed of forgiveness. We thank you we have a Savior who is always there, who never forsakes us. Through our battles and through our storms, you remain. Through our darkest hour, you're still the shining light that leads us back home. Thank you, Lord, you never give up on us. You never fail us. You never forsake us. But you are with us, as your word says, to the very end of the world. For every heart in here, I pray for grace and for strength, for healing, for salvation, for deliverance. That we all leave here knowing, God, we have been in the presence of you. That's what counts, is we leave knowing that you were here, Lord, and you showed up. Thank you for loving us unto death, that we may have life forever. And we give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus Christ. The church said, amen. God bless each of you. Need to have the ushers at this time come up, receive our morning giving. And I want to recognize a few folks, and I hope I don't miss anybody. There's several I want to recognize this morning as they're coming up. We have a good friend of ours who's not been here in a little while, but still a friend. She's kind of like Jesus. She don't forsake us. She just sometimes don't see her, but she's never forsaken us. Miss LeJune. Henry, stand up and be recognized. So good to see LeJune with us today. She's a loving, loving, wonderful, beautiful person, and we're so glad you shared our special mortgage burning with us today. Thank you. Because y'all, you and Vance were a big part of our church over here, of helping support us, and we thank you for that. We have a college girl here with us and her mom, all the way from UNCG, Ashley Swim. Stand up. Stand up, girl. Be recognized. So good to see you. And there was somebody else I was going to recognize. Let me scan the crowd. It wasn't. I didn't recognize you. Who was it? Oh, duh. I'm Dr. Kearney and his wife, Tammy. And this is your dad. Is that correct? If y'all would stand up, please, let church recognize y'all. This is Dr. Kearney, his wife, Tammy, and his dad. Don't they look alike? Thank y'all for being with us. I invited Dr. Kearney. He has, of course, his home church, but he had chose to be with us today to celebrate this. And Dr. Kearney, it really honored me y'all did that, to be with us, and I appreciate it very much. So, thank you. He's a pretty good guy. Can I get amen, Tammy? She is. Can I get amen, Dr. Kearney? Good. We all leave in peace. All right. Easter is this Sunday. Don't forget Easter Sunday. And we're having an Easter egg hunt following our service for the little kids right after service. So make time to plan on doing that as they get the eggs right after service. And then we're not going to have Sunday night service next week. We're canceling Easter Sunday night service so you can be with your families and have a good time together. So just note that. All right. Let's pray over our offering. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time of this service and your Holy Spirit that was here, that was so strong and so present and so sweet and so tender, thank you, Jesus, for drawing. Thank you for moving upon our lives. We thank you our debt is paid in full. We thank you the cross took care of all of that. Lord, bless this offering. We decree unto you as always for your glory, for your use, that you take the seed and you multiply it and you use it for your glory, that lives are changed and that the vision you have placed here will continue to grow. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Mel's going to share one thing on the screen with you in closing of something she found that she thought...